don't start now, I won't get down here. I'm not going to take long, but I do have a, feel like I have a word tonight from the Lord. And how many want to be effective? Effective in every area of your life. And I want to kind of talk to you from my heart tonight on something I've really realized in my life. And we're going to be in John chapter 13, if you'll go there. And I preached this message a couple weeks ago at our church, and it was and just another revelation to me, this story we're going to read. And I really believe it's the key. If there was a title, this would be the key to being effective. And it's going to seem simple. This is interesting because Pastor Paul is going to be starting a series next Sunday on simple. So I guess I'm leading in without even knowing it. Amen. And I hope I don't take anything away from what you're going to do, but I don't know what he's going to preach, but this is really important, key. And if I look back and try to see how the Lord has used me in any way, this is the key, and we're going to read it in a second. So I want you to think about love tonight. The key to effectiveness is love. And that's not a revelation in itself, because we know all the scriptures. For God so loved the world. We can quote them. Can I get an amen? We can quote them. We can quote them and quote them and quote them. But we have to do more than quote them. We have to live them. And in the hotel today, me and Carla and I were watching one of our very favorite shows, which is Undercover Boss. If you have not seen that show, I highly recommend you to watch that show. And I'm a crier anyways. I'm very emotional. And I thank God for that, because I don't get emotional over anything, but I get over emotional things that are important. And I watch that show, and I get teary-eyed. And I almost get jealous, because I watch these owners, be in these CEOs, and let me just tell you real quick, in case you've been living in a cave and haven't seen that show. A boss will, of a company, today was 7-Eleven, another one was, Belfour, which is a big industrial company, and they'll go into their companies, and they'll change their hair, or grow a beard, or they'll put makeup on, or do whatever, and they'll go in and go in as someone who's just training, and they'll be on the day-to-day with the people, and they'll be learning, you know, what they do. And it is kind of funny, because this one today was Belfour, and he's supposed to be, he's a construction company, and he couldn't even put a screw into the wall. And I thought, how do these people become CEOs of these companies? They don't even know how to put a screw in the wall, and it's a construction company, right? Well, here's the thing. How can we be Christians? How can we be effective in the gospel if we don't know how to love? Amen. We know we're supposed to love, but how can we be effective if we really don't know how to love and know how to really? And so the cool thing about it is they'll get with these people, and the barrier will be broken down. You almost wonder if there's a believer behind this show, and if not, they need to be, because there's such a spiritual aspect to it, because they begin to get with these people, and they begin to ask them about them, and they find out they have kids, or they find out they've got a sickness, or they find out they've got financial problems. And this one today was a mess. I mean, he cried over and over with his employees when he found out they weren't getting their raises, when they weren't being treated right, when they weren't getting their insurance, and one of them actually even took off his stuff and said, "I got to tell you right now, I'm the CEO, and you're getting your raise," and it was just amazing. Amen. But the thing I'm trying to say is that show is so powerful, because that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. He's our CEO. Amen. He's our boss. He's our Lord. And he wants to have that relationship with us. And we need to put our guards down sometimes and let him come into our lives and speak to our lives. So I was reading John chapter 13, and I'm going to go backwards. I want to start in 34. And 35, and we know these verses, so they're not going to be new to you. But it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another. And how do we love? As I have loved you, that you also love one another." And at this verse, I think of Romans 5:8, which is one of my favorite verses. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right, while we were in our worst place, Christ died for us. That's hard for us to do as human beings. God loved us at the very lowest place he could possibly love us. He didn't expect us to get to a certain place, and we know that that's the gospel, but we see here that he says, love as I have loved, then that you would love one another. There's not a person in here, in this place tonight, that is loving to the full capacity that God wants us to love. Even if you're here and you say, and you feel like you have God's love in you, and God really uses you, we are all falling short of that, of being in the full capacity of love that God has for us. And if we will ask God to help us with that, and fall in love with God again and get that love in our lives, we will be more effective. Because what happens with these CEOs in this show is they start realizing I'm stuck in an office, I'm doing my things, I'm in another world, and I don't realize that these people in my company have real problems and real struggles. And what we do is we get busy coming to church, and we get busy doing the things of God, and those are good things. And we get busy reading the word, and we get busy praying, and we get busy doing all these things, and none of them are bad. They're all good and necessary. But then we go out into the evangelistic field, which is our job and our school and the store. And then we forget why we read the Bible. We forget why we pray. We forget why we do what we do. And then we need to get around these real people and realize there's hurting people. People are hurting, amen? And let me tell you something, it's not just people who are poor. It's not just people who are down and out. I was on the plane coming here, and I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, as I get on this plane, put me by somebody and let me be a witness to them. Let me talk to them. Let me share my faith with them. I sat down and got an exit row, and Carla got an exit row behind me. I know she doesn't care if we don't sit together if I get an exit row. She knows I need leg room, amen. So I got an exit row, she got an exit row. We weren't next to each other. And that was ordained by the Holy Spirit. And I sat down next to this guy, and he was on my right. I was in the middle, and he had headphones on, and I couldn't get my seatbelt. I mean, something was wrong with my seatbelt, and I couldn't get my seatbelt barely on. And if I'd have been a pound heavier, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And something was really wrong with it. And I said to the guy next to me, if I was any bigger, I wouldn't be able to do my seatbelt. And he had to take his headphones off to hear me. And so he didn't put his headphones back on for 2 hours. We talked for 2 hours. And this man is a consultant of a humongous company. And I began to share faith with him and just talk to him about the Lord. And we ended up talking for 2 hours. We were the same age, married the same amount of time, got married at the same age, had the same amount of kids, and just had this great conversation. And I'm speaking to him, and at one point he says, you know what? I'm a believer too, and I woke up this morning, and I read about Samuel hearing God's voice 3 times. And I didn't know what it meant, and you're speaking to me right now, and you're telling me what it means to hear God's voice. And I was able to speak to him on that airplane, amen? We can get busy and say, I'm going to sleep on this plane, or I don't want to bother somebody, but somebody next to you tomorrow at work or at school or at the job, at the grocery store, somebody, God will place someone next to you that if you'll just get out of yourself and get God's love, he will open up a door for you to make a relationship, amen? I got his phone number, and we're going to talk when I get back, and I don't know what that's going to lead to. It doesn't have to lead to anything, but I began to speak some things to him, and he spoke some things to me, and you just don't know what God is doing when you get out of your busyness and get with that person next to you and begin to talk to them about the Lord. Amen. Now, none of the stuff I just said was even planned. Amen. So let's read this. Back to 35, sorry. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, we know those verses. But what God really wants us, and this was the revelation for me, I'm going to read it in a second, is God wants us to be intimate with him, close to him. And he wants us to have a relationship with him better than we have with anybody in our life. And all of us here have family and friends that we feel comfortable with. So there's a difference a lot of times, and this is what changes the difference between religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. Religion is, when you go to somebody's house that you don't know very well and they invite you into your house, to their house, and you sit like, I'm going to go over there because you can't see. This is the chair. And you sit on the edge of the seat, sitting upright, and you're real serious and you're real nervous and the conversation's real serious because you don't have a relationship with that person, and you're in the living room and you're kind of looking at your watch of how long you have to be there, and you're thinking of something else you can do, and there's no relationship there. You're there physically, but not really mentally. And what God wants us to have is a relationship with Him. And this is how some people's relationship is with the Lord. When they go into the presence of God or go to pray, they're sitting on the edge of their seat, and they're nervous, and they're sitting upright, and they're trying to please, and they're trying to make God love them, and they're trying to have good manners and all that. But you know what God wants? He wants you to go into His presence like you'd go into the house of a friend. And so my friend's here, and I come into his house, and I can flop down on the couch with him. I can put my arms up. I can take my shoes off. I could go into the fridge and grab a drink out of the refrigerator because I have a friendship with this person. I have a relationship with this person. There's no holding back. There's intimacy with that friend or that family member. How many are seeing the difference? God, that's the relationship that God wants. And what God showed me was so powerful, and I've read it so many times, is this man in John chapter 13. I'm going to go back a few verses. In verse 20, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." And Jesus said these things. And as he said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then the disciples looked at another, perplexed about whom he spoke. And look at this. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter motioned to him. Watch this. Simon Peter motioned. You know who Simon Peter is, right? You know that guy that was really instrumental in the Gospels? Simon Peter motioned to this man, to him, to ask of whom it was he spoke. And then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, his chest, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And then Jesus goes on to answer and says, "It is he whom I shall give a piece of bread when I've dipped it. And we know the story. He dips the bread, and it's Judas Iscariot and all that. What I want you to see right here is something so amazing, because we think of Peter being so close to God and so close to Jesus, yet Peter was not in the relationship with Jesus that John the Beloved was, because Peter had to ask John, hey, and we know it's John, by the way. He had to ask John, "Hey, can you ask Jesus who it is?" We think of Peter being, I mean, sometimes you think of somebody and you think, man, they have such an amazing relationship with God. And there's more even than that, more even to that relationship that can be had. And I want to challenge you tonight, and God wants to challenge me, that our relationship would be greater, that we wouldn't just be in the room with Jesus. We wouldn't just be in relationship with Jesus, but that we could have the relationship where we could actually lean on Him and be that close to Him and have that much intimacy with Him that somebody would have to come to me and say, "Hey, I need an answer. Can you pray for me? Because you've got a relationship with God that I don't have. There's something you have that I don't have. I want to have the kind of relationship with God that somebody sees that in me." How many want to have that kind of relationship that people see something in you? I'm not even talking about believers. I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about people that are not saved, that see something in your life that says, man, you have a relationship, you have a intimacy with the Lord that I don't have, or you have, they might not even know it's the Lord. You have something I don't have, and I want it. And there's something powerful about this. This was a challenge for me, because I feel like I love, but I want to love more. I want to love deeper. I want to love greater. I want to care more. And yes, you have to be careful what you ask for. Amen. But I do. That's a desire, and that should be a desire in all of our hearts, that God, we would wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let me love like you love. How many know it's not easy to love? And here's the thing that's important to understand. Many people don't know how to love because they've never been loved or had love from a person, but God changes that because the Bible tells us that when he comes into our life, he teaches us love. And so we can't really say anymore, I don't know how to love, because God teaches us how to love. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And so now we have to say, Lord, take off these barriers out of my life. Take off these inadequacies out of my life. Take off these fears out of my life, and let me love like you love so that I can be effective. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want God to talk about me like that. But there's also another side to this. When John is speaking here, and he's called in many different parts of the Bible, in John 19, John 20, John 21, you see them mention John the Beloved. And what happens is, I also believe that there's the flip side of that is John understood Jesus's love more than anybody else. Not only was he bold enough to go sit by him, amen, but he was understanding that Jesus loved him so much that he called himself the Beloved, and he was John the Beloved because he acted out the love that God had put in him. Amen. Amen. I hope I'm getting this out the right way. Amen. I hope it's coming across. This is something that I have to do. We get too worried sometimes about what is somebody else going to think about me, and what is somebody else looking at. John the Beloved didn't care. He said, I'm going to be next to Jesus. I'm going to be right there. And what we begin to see in this story of the Bible is we begin to see through, as time goes on, not only is John somebody important at this moment in the Last Supper, but we also see that he is one of the three with James and Peter that gets to go up onto the mountain and gets to see the revelation of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. How many tonight, see, I can't want this for you, but I can want it for me. I want to have the kind of relationship with the Lord that I see those kind of signs, that I see those kind of miracles, that I'm so close to God that when God's about to do something supernatural, someone's going to get this right here. When God's about to do something supernatural, he calls me over and makes sure I'm part of the sign and the wonder. I'm part of the miracle, because not everybody's going to see all the miracles. Are you catching that? How many people went up onto the mountain? Three. How many disciples were there? 12. Where were the other 9? Somewhere else, doing something else. Why did he call them? Because he loved them more. That sounds weird. How could God love someone more? We know, don't make a doctrine out of that. I'm not trying to change doctrine here. God so loved the world that he gave his, we know he loves everybody. But he loved this man more than other people. He loved Peter. He loved James. Otherwise, he'd have called all the disciples up there. Listen to this. You can be in a place of relationship with the Lord, then when he's moving and he's stirring the waters, he calls you over and says, I want you to be, I'll put your hand on this. I want you to be a part of this miracle. I want to be in that. I want to be called by the Lord, and when he's stirring and he's moving, I'm present. He was able to see those Moses and Elijah with his own eyes. He was able to see Jesus Christ transfigure from man to God right in front of his eyes. And then we know that he goes on in the Bible later on and he gets to see the most amazing miracles. He's always up front and close to the miracles, the signs and the wonders. And then we also see that he becomes the last apostle. Does anybody realize he was the last apostle alive? He was the last one. He loved the most. He lived the longest. There's something about staying close to God when other people aren't staying close to God. When you go back to this thing right here, and here's where we're at in the days we're living in. The Bible says in the last days, people's love will grow wax cold. People's love will grow wax cold. He didn't say the world's love would grow wax cold. He said, my people's love will grow wax cold. And so in this place, there could be people whose love is growing wax cold. But I have to say, Lord, not me. Because when they were in that place of the supper, and he said, somebody's going to betray me, there were 11 hearts out of 12 that said, is it me? Is it me? There was something that troubled them and said, so it should trouble you when you read that verse. And you should say, Lord, don't let it be me. Don't let me be one of the ones that's going to wax cold. Don't let me be one of those ones that's going to miss out on a move of God. God, if you're going to move anywhere in this world, make sure that I'm there. God, make sure that I'm present. Make sure that I can see it with my own eyes, that I can be a part of it. I just want to be there. I don't even need the miracle. I just want to be in the room. Come on. What happens when somebody that has something or somebody's faith, when you get called over to a house, it's because there's relationship. I want you to, you get called to a baby being born, or you get called to a birthday party, there's relationship there. I want God to call me. Hey son, I'm about to do something powerful. Come on over. I want you to see this. I want that kind of relationship with God. And we can have it. Because the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect us, but he does love us. And love comes out of relationship. How do you get to know somebody? By being with them. You have to be around them. You have to spend time with them. You know, when you're around somebody enough, you can begin to end their sentences. When you're around somebody, you can begin to know what they're going to say before they say it. Think what they're going to think before they think it. Right? That comes from friendship. Being around a person. So if that's the way it is in the world, how much more would that be with the things of God? That we could be so close to him that we'd be around. And then finally, we see what John gets, which is to me the greatest, amazingest, most powerful thing. He gets to be the man who sees the revelation of God and writes that whole book. Can you imagine? See, we can't even fathom tonight. You think tonight that we have amazing 3D and XD and all these HD and all these. We think we have the most amazing technology today. Let me tell you something. John was so close to God that 2,000 years ago, he saw XD and HD and all those things before anybody else did. He saw the greatest movie ever made right before his eyes because he was so close to God that God said, I can trust this man to write the last book of my Bible. Come on, somebody. So we might not write the end of the book. Musicians, you can come. We might not write the end of the book. We might not maybe think we can, you know, we won't be there to see the transfiguration. But what I'm trying to show you tonight is the key to effectiveness is being so close to God that, watch this, is what I want you to get if you haven't got anything else, that we can do what John did with Jesus. When he had his head on his chest, twice it says that. And I use this example with my dad in my church. My dad's my assistant pastor. So I called him forward because I didn't feel comfortable putting my head on anybody else's chest. Amen. So I called my dad forward and I put my head on his chest just like John did with Jesus. Here's the thing that's so awesome about what John did. When he put his head on Jesus' chest, what's in his chest? He could hear the heart of God. He was in such relationship with Jesus that he could hear the heart of the Lord. That's what I want. I want to be so close. I want to be so intimate with the Lord. I want to be so in love with God that I can hear his voice. Listen, watch this. I can hear his voice more than anybody else. Did you get that? That I can hear his voice, his heart, more than I hear the voice of my wife or the voice of my daughters or the voice of you or the voice of anybody else. And there's good voices. There's bad voices. There's good voices. But if I could hear God's voice over everything else, what could God do in my life? Heart of God right there. I got the opportunity this year to be asked to go, and I'm always honored and thankful, as Pastor Dustin said, just to be a part of this fellowship. I love it. And I thank God for all the things I've been able to do in this fellowship, and I credit all the things that we've done in Denton with being a part of this church. and being able to follow and watch. And I just want to plug something in here real quick, and I'll get back to that thought hopefully, because I do lose thoughts sometimes. We have a couple of our boys that have been with us since they were just very young, very faithful couple in our church that many of you know. They're off to college now. And they are in Oklahoma, going to Oklahoma State University. And their parents were telling us, now that they're up at college, they didn't really realize how much they loved our church until they got to another city and couldn't find a church like ours. And there's lots of churches. They've bounced around and bound. They're going somewhere. But now they come home, and see, before they took it for granted. They were here. They were there all the time, and they played instruments, and they didn't really realize what it was. Now that they're away, now that they're out on their own, they realize what they had at home. A lot of us, and I've been saying this for years, a lot of us in this church take for granted what we have. You get out there, you get out away from home, and you realize what you have at home. Amen. I just feel like saying that. So I got asked on my birthday. My daughter, Kristen, was born on my birthday in January 21st. And so I got asked by Pastor Bland that day to preach the Kenya conference. And I went about 8 years ago, and it was a great blessing. And so my daughter has been wanting to go to Africa since she was 9. And all of you know Kristen. She's the oldest. She's 23, which is crazy. And she's been wanting to go since she was 9 years old. And so that morning when I got asked to go, I immediately in my spirit thought, I'm taking Kristen with me. And I felt it was God. I'm taking Kristen with me. This is her chance. This is her opportunity to go. And so I went to eat with her. We went to eat some sushi on our birthday. We have a tradition now for many years to go eat lunch together for our birthday, just her and I. After we got past the years of my little princess and all the girly birthdays I had with her growing up, we got to where we're old enough to go have fun together. So we went to eat sushi, and I had Destiny print out a ticket, just a mock ticket with her name on it. And it said Kenya, and it had a date on it. And I gave her that bag. Stay with me here. I gave her that bag, and I said, and I pulled out my phone. I said, I can't even wait till we eat. You got to open this thing up. So she pulls that ticket out. And I've got it on video. It's so precious. And she looks at that ticket like a little 9-year-old. And she says, Daddy, really? Are you serious? Do you mean this? And she just starts crying. And I said, yeah, we're gonna go. I said, I don't know how we're gonna go, but God's gonna provide. And we're gonna go, and you're gonna get this answer. And so I thought later. I stopped the video and everything, and I've watched it about 30 times since. And here's why I said that. I asked God, I said, do you love me as much as I love my daughter? Because the love that I have for my daughter, the emotion that I have for my daughter, and the pride that I have in my daughter, and the feelings that I have for my daughter, I think, God, how is it possible for you to love me like I love her? And guess what? He loves me more than I love her. Because he gave me the capacity to love. And so tonight, you might be like, God, do you really love me? Do you really love me? And I want you to know, he loves you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, he loves you with an everlasting love. And sometimes we can't really grasp the love of Jesus because of our circumstances, because of things we see. But here's what we can be. Here's how we can be effective in ministry. Here's how we can be effective as believers. Love like Jesus loved. And try to show people that love that we have for others. Amen? And say, God, if you love me that much, help me love others that much. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, all over this place, this is the secret ingredient, and it's not a deep thought. It's just simple. Love. Love. But that love, God, does not come without relationship. Without spending time. You don't build a relationship without spending time with somebody. And a lot of us in here tonight, we desire a relationship with you, but we don't spend time with you like we need to. And the only way we can have that relationship that we desire with you is to spend time with you. And Lord, we have to, what a great thing this fast was for us to realize that when we turn off social media and we put food aside and we put these other things aside, that God, I'm closer to God because these distractions are out of my way. And tonight, I want to pray that all of us would have a new revelation of the love of Jesus Christ and a new revelation of how much God wants us to love others and love his children like he loves them. And listen here, love the unlovable. Love the hard ones. I don't like that part of the Bible where God says I'm supposed to pray for my enemies and bless them. But we must do that because guess what? I was his enemy. I was his enemy. I was the one that he should have hated, but he loved me. To whom much is given, much is required. And so I must love like God loved. And that's my challenge for you tonight, as I take that challenge for myself. As we just close in a moment at the altar in prayer, how many all over this place tonight don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You've not been born again, and you want to be saved tonight. Would you just put your hand up and let me pray for you tonight? I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want to start a new life tonight. Just put your hand up and put it down. All over this place. God bless you. I see your hand. I need Jesus. Can God love me where I'm at? Can God love me with what I've done? Yes. While you were a sinner, he died for you. He died for those that will reject him. That's me. Put your hand up. Maybe you're backslidden. God bless you, sir. You've walked away. You're cold. You need to come home tonight. Come back to the love of the Lord. Maybe you're at an age where you don't really understand love. You think, love, what's love? I don't even know what love is. My parents didn't love me. Nobody loves me. Listen, I want you to know tonight, God loves you. There's an age, 10, 11, 12, 13, kids are trying to figure it out. You need to let God show you love tonight. Maybe you're at that age and you say, you know what, I want to give Jesus my life. I want to try love that I've never had. Just put your hand up. That's me. God wants to touch your heart. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I want to ask us to stand to our feet. It's early. It's Sunday night. I want to ask everybody that can and is able just to step down to this altar. Let's just fill this altar tonight. Let's all come forward if possible. We're going to just spend a few minutes at the altar in prayer. Nothing bad's going to happen to you if you come, I promise. It's a good place to be. The altar's a good place to be. God's love is in this place tonight. I need you, Lord. I need you more, Lord.
I need you more.
Sing it again. I need you more.
I need you more.
Come on, if you're able, just come on down.
More than yesterday.
I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. Come on, just tell him, I need you more. Let's just ask God to do surgery on us tonight and give us more love. Help us in the areas that we're deficient. I want to love like you love tonight, Jesus. I want to care like you care. I want to give like you give. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more.
More than the air I breathe.
Let God's love
song. time goes by, I will be by your side.